Okay, Chevra, we're up to the Mishnah Lamed Ches Amid Beis, which is actually a new starting point because until now we've really been doing Dinim Dirabonon of Shehiya HaChazara HaTmana, and now we're segueing into the Dinim D'Oraisa of Bishol, although the D'Oraisas and Dirabonons kind of get all merged together, but nonetheless I think this is largely the break point between the Oraisas and the Rabbanans. And the Mishnah tells me that Einos Nebeitza B'tzad HaMeichom B'shvil Shetis Galgel. You're not allowed to put an egg next to a Meichom. It's like a samovar. It's a pot that was on the fire. You want to put the egg next to that pot B'shvil Shetis Galgel in order that the egg should become rounder. Now, the Metzius over here, I'm not exactly sure about. The Derisha in Os Gimel says something which I understand part of. So I'll tell you the part that I do understand. The part that I don't understand, I won't be able to tell you. But Bishur Shetis Galgel apparently means that eggs are very interesting creatures. You see, an egg is technically somewhat edible when it's raw, no? If you're a chazan, right, so the use is this true that Chazanim really use raw eggs to lubricate the throat?
I think it's a it's placebo
more than
anything else.
Okay, but the Shemua out there is that raw eggs are somewhat edible. We know this actually comes up in Yoridea in Hilchos Bishul Akum. There is a discussion about raw eggs in the context of Bishul Akum that we'll try to touch on a little bit later. But a raw egg is somewhat edible. Eggs can also be cooked, and they could be cooked to the degree of soft-boiled and hard-boiled. A soft-boiled egg is shetis galgel. Shetis galgel means that the egg is cooked a tiny bit, somewhat cooked, and therefore, apparently, you can roll the egg. You know they used to have egg rolling contests in this country, right? So apparently, a fully raw egg you can't roll, but a soft-boiled egg you can roll, and that, I think, is the pshat in Rashi of Bishvil Shetis Galgel, as opposed to the hemsheikh of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, V'lo yafki ena besudarin, that means that you should not crack an egg on top of a handkerchief. You're not allowed to be matmin an egg in the sand. Shetitzwe is different than shetis galgel. Shetis galgel means that the egg is, I would say, soft boiled, somewhat cooked. Shetitzwe means that the egg is completely cooked. I think this is Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, and not only do I think this, but I have a great Jewish scholar who agrees with me. He is called the Rashash. The Rashash in the Mishnah points out that Shetis Galgel means the egg is somewhat cooked, as opposed to Shetitzwe, which means it's completely cooked. And then the Rashash says a Chiddush, which I did not see brought in any of the poskim. The Rashash writes that the end of the Mishnah about Chol and Avak Derachim or Sudarin, all these things, that's a shaila of Bishul Midrabanan, because there the Isser would be a Gezerah, like the Gemara says, of Todos Ha'or, Atu Todos Ha'chama. Zok the Rashash, when I'm dealing with Bishul Midrabanan, the only thing that's forbidden is full-fledged Bishul Shetitzle. But when I'm dealing with Bishul D'Oraisa, even a little bit of Bishul is forbidden. So far so good? Ad Kan Divrei HaRashash. By the way, we believe that the Rashash actually knew how to learn. The Hasidim say that the Rashash only got into the Gemaras because he was very wealthy, and the Almana Rum wanted some rich person to help her fund the publication of the Shas. The Hasidim don't like the Rashash because the Rashash denies the concept of Gilgulam. No? The Rashash in Bav Metzion, the Gemara of Kishem Shen Nichnaso La'olam B'Loichet Kach Yitziyasu La'olam B'Loichet, the Rashash writes, Mikan is a raya against Gilgulam. Chassidim don't like the Rashash for that reason, but we believe that the Rashash actually knew how to learn, and he actually deserved to be in the Gemara. And this is actually, I think, a very strong deal, the difference between Shetis Galgel and Shetitzle. This diuk of the Rashash seems to be the perush of the pseudo ran, or the shital ran, or however we want to call him in the Hemsheikha Gemara. The Gemara asks, Ibayalahu Gilgal Mai. Correct the Gemara, what happens if you're Megalgal? And the Gemara answers, Gilgal Chayiv Chatas, or Medame it to what we'll call Kale Habishal, to Koyas Hispinin and the like. Right? Yeah.
Where does the Rashash read this in the Mishnah?
Because the Mishnah has a different Lashon, Shatis Galgal versus Shatitzle.
But he asked, Tis Galgal is a more rudimentary.
So Tis Galgal is less bishul.
Right. Right.
It's so not fully cooked. Zok the Rashash, Beitz of Itzad HaMecham, that's a case of Toldos Ha'or, that's a case of something that was heated up by a Mamish of fire. I'm putting my egg next to a samovar. It was heated up by Mamish of fire, therefore even a little bit of bishul is going to be usher. Therefore even Shatitzle is going to be usher. However, in the Seifa of the Mishnah, when I'm talking about Chol and Avat Jerachim, and Yaki and the Mesudarin, which is only Toldos Ha'chama, not Toldos Ha'or. So Toldos Ha'chama, in the worst case scenario, is Asur Midrabanan, because it's Asur Midrabanan. Right? It's Asur, but it's only Asur if it's Shatitzle, if it's fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, if the egg is only Shatitz Galgil, it's not going to be Asur. It's a tremendous Chiddush in the Rashash, but you want to kiss it. It's so beautiful. It's such a good Chiddush. No? I'm really into this. Avinom, you don't seem excited. It's good. It's a good Rashash. Okay, fine. So, that's Ha'ara Rishona. Ha'ara Shania is that Lecha'ara, the way the Rashash is learning the Mishnah, seems to dovetail with the Perush of the Ran in the Gemara. The Gemara has a question. Ibayelahu Gilgel Mai. What's the din if you are Megalgel the egg? And the Gemara answers that Gilgal is Chayiv Chatas, and we compare it to Kilyasa Ispanin, to these things that we'll call Kale Habishal. Good? That's what the Gemara says. Now, what precisely is the suffix of Gilgal Mai? So there are two different approaches in the Rishonim. The Ritva learns Gilgal Mai as a suffix in the Gemara about whether Toldos Ha'or is Asur Midoraisa, or is it Asur Midrabanan? Right, that's what the Ritva says. When the Gemara asks, Gilgal Mai, we're asking, are you going to be Chayiv Achatas or not? Is it an Isur Midoraisa? Maybe it's only Asur Midrabanan. I know Gilgal is forbidden, but is the Isur Midoraisa, or is the Isur Midrabanan? That's the way the Ritva learns. Now, the Gemara's conclusion, according to the Ritva, is that Gilgal is Chayiv Achatas. And the proof to that is, well, we know that Meliach HaYoshan and Koyas HaIspinin, that these sardines or herrings or these small salty fish, if I just pour some hot water on them, I'm going to be Chayiv on Shabbos. Or at least it's going to be Asur on Shabbos. That's all I see, right? So, even though it's doing Eroi, and Eroi presumably is Dino Kikli Sheni, or maybe I'm doing Eroi from a Kli Sheni, Tosas learns, right? Remember, there's a very big machlokas, a gargantuan machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, that whether Eroi is Dino Kikli Rishon, whether Eroi is Dino Kikli Sheni, or, right, the phantom opinion, which is how we pass him, that doesn't seem to make it to our Tosas at all, is that Eroi is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. No? Hello, Dovarhu, that our Tosfos never deals with that opinion, which seems to be the opinion that is most accepted in Judaism, that Eroi is Kedei Klipa. But our Tosfos leaves that opinion out. Maybe if you get me drunk, maybe I'll explain to you why Tosfos left it out. But it's Simchas Torah hangover, right? But the fact is, The fact is, Tosis says, obviously, Hadachasan would ordinarily not be Chayiv, but by these food items, Hadachasan Zehu Gemar Malachtan and your Chayiv. Now, the Chazon Ish points out that the way the Ritva learns the Gemara, remember the Chazon Ish is very smart, and he doesn't like to tell you that I'm learning the Gemara based on only one group of Rishonim. Instead, he makes a cheshbin that this has to be the pshat in the Gemara, even though what he's really doing is he's saying, I think the Ran is right and the Ritva is wrong. No? That's really what the Chazon Ish is saying. Va'afareish. The Ritva learns that the suffix in the Gemara is Gilgal Mai, meaning is Toldos Ha'ar, is if I cook on the Samavar. I cook on the outside of a pot that was heated up by the fire. That's Toldos Ha'ar. Is that Asur Midoraisa Midrabbanan? The Gemara answers Toldos Ha'ar is Asur Midoraisa. Gilgal Chayev Chatos. Zafi Gemara. Afana Nami Tanina. I could prove it from a Mishnah on Kuf Mem Heyam in Beis, where the Mishnah says Kol Shabbat B'Chamin etc. and Hadachasim Zehu Gemar Malachdon, and therefore it's going to be Aser. Now hold it, Zakta Chazon Ish. What type of proof is this? What type of proof do you have from Hadachasim Zehu Gemar Malachdon that it's going to be an Iser de Oraisa and you are Chayiv? You're Chayiv what? You're Chayiv a carbon? How do you see that you are going to be chayiv a carbon? Can't I learn the Mishnah that Hadachasun Zehu Gemar Malachtan that's only going to be Aser? Remember, the Ritva is saying that the question of the Gemara is what's the din of Toldos Ha'ar? Is Toldos Ha'ar chayiv? Right? Do'iraisa? Is that only Aser Midrabanan? Zakti Gemara afana nami tanina. I learned a Mishnah Kuf Mem Heyam Beis that Hadachasan Zuhi Gemar Malachton, and therefore you see it's the Oraisa. But says the Chazon Ish, scratch my head. What do you mean? I see it's the how do I see it's the Oraisa? All I see is that don't do it. Don't take your herring and pour hot water on the herring, even hot water from a kli sheni according to half of the Rishonim. Don't do that. Okay, got it. I shouldn't do that. But do you know that you're chayiv? Does the Mishnah say that I'm chayiv? Rashi decided to be nice to us, no? Rashi writes, Shma mina zahu bishulo v'chayiv, no? But the Mishnah itself doesn't say that I'm chayiv. How on earth could the Mishnah be a proof that Gilgal is chayiv chatos? Maybe it's only Aser Midrabanan. That's the Chazon Ish's rejection of the way the Ritva learns the Gemara. Therefore, the Chazon Ish wants to learn the Gemara along the lines of the Shita Laran, which ends up being the same as the Rashash that we said earlier, but we'll speak that out after Ari's question. Okay, so we're going to talk about this in a few minutes. I don't know. Because if it's a Lashon D'Oraisa, it's a Lashon D'Oraisa of Makeh B'Patish. Which this certainly is. Gemar Malacha is a technical term. No, the Mishnah at the beginning of Habona speaks about that something that's Gemar Malacha is the Malacha of Makeh B'Patish. That's Gemar Malacha. So obviously when I use the word... if I use the word Gemar Malacha here, it doesn't really mean what Gemar Malacha usually means.
Well, that's what Rashi says.
Rashi says it's Bishul.
Gemar Malacha, I mean, that's how you do Bishul on these things, and that because of these Bishul things, that's the way the Malacha Bishul applies to things in your
Chayav. I'll agree with that. So Rashi's saying it's Bishul, certainly. I'll definitely agree with that. But I'm just saying, what's the Gemara's Raya? This is the Chazon Ish. What's the Gemara's Raya? How can we say, Gilgal is Chayiv Chatos, and I know that because we learned the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis. Or the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis says, don't pour hot water on your sardines. Right? But does the Mishnah say that I'm Chayiv? It doesn't. And if the whole suffix is it a Din D'Oraisa or is it a Din D'Rabbanan? So I can't prove anything from the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei, because the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei just says, don't do it. How do I know it's the Oraisa? How do I know that you're going to be Chayiv? Rashi decides to B'ni'imas l'shono, he adds the word chayiv, because Rashi is sensitive to this problem, but the chora from the text of the Mishnah on Kuf Memhei, that the Gemara is quoting over here, I don't see that you're chayiv.
Also, the Mishnah on Kuf Memhei doesn't address the whole question of Toldos Ar.
The Mishnah doesn't address the question of Toldos Ar at all. The Gemara says, how come it's a problem? Obviously, because Toldos Ar is a problem. That's the way the Ritva is going to learn our Gemara. But hello, our Gemara is trying to put Toldos Ar as a problem min haTorah, and I don't see that. I don't see that. So again, Nachzar. The Ritva learns the suffix of the Gemara of Gilgal Mai is a suffix as to whether Toldos Ha'ar is the Oraisa or is Toldos Ha'ar the Rabbanan. The Shita L'Ran. Now when I say the Shita L'Ran, some of the people in the Beis Medrash this morning were having difficulty finding it. There are many different people called the Ran. Most of them are probably not the Ran. They're the parish of the Ritva, used to be called the Ran. This is the real Ran. This is the Mosad HaRav Kook Ran. This really is the Ran. Then there is what the Rishonim call the Shita of the Ran, which is printed in the old Rans. We know it's probably not the Ran, although it might have been someone else whose name started with a Nun. I think Rabbi Rosenzweig's expression about it is, we don't know who he was, but he was presumably a reputable Rishon. Right? So he was an Orthodox Jew, he had a beard, whatever it is, but we don't know exactly who it is. But he's a Rishon. So the Shita L'Ran writes, and this is his Lashon, Midukari le gemar melocha. Here, no, I'm sorry. The Shita L'Ran writes, Gilgel Chayiv Chatos, Af Al Pi She'ena Mevusheles Kol Tzarko. Right? Meaning, what the Shita L'Ran is saying, L'cha'ora, is that when the Gemara asks the question, Gilgal Mai, is we're asking, is this type of partial bishul, is this enough to be Chayiv or not? Is partial bishul sufficient to be chayiv? And then I understand the continuation of the Gemara, because the Gemara is bringing a raya from the sardines, hadachasan zehu gemar malachdon, where all I'm doing is a little bit of bishul, and that's the same type of thing as I'm doing by Gilgal. Now you're right. It doesn't say over there that your mamish chayiv or you're not chayiv. It doesn't say that, but that's not really the issue. You see, the issue that we're asking is, what is the nature of partial bishul? Is partial bishul going to be usser, or is it not going to be usser? Right? Are we just saying that l'chatchila, I shouldn't do it? The Lashon HaMishnah is ein nosnin beitza b'tzad ha-mecham. That might sound like it's, don't do it l'chatchila. Maybe it's not even an issur d'rabbanan. Maybe it's just sound advice. We don't want you to do this. So we ask, Gilgal Mai, don't leave my egg here, b'shul shatis galgal. Right? Maybe what the Mishnah means is like, it's advice. Don't leave the egg there to make it soft boiled, because we're worried that you'll leave the egg there for too long, it might get fully cooked, which would be a real problem. Right? The answer that I have is, partial cooking is also a genuine problem. It's not just a precautionary measure, because hadachasan zehu gemar malachdon. Right? I see partial cooking by the sardine is a problem as well. Now, the Shita L'Ran's approach, I think, is exactly in line with the way the Rashash learned the Mishnah. I think the Shita L'Ran has the advantage of we understand what the Raya is from the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Hei. But there is a huge disadvantage in the Shita L'Ran, which is that it doesn't seem to fit with any of the rules of Bishul that I know. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what do we usually call partial cooking? We have a term for it. What's it called? Machol ben Drusai! Do you see that word anywhere in this sugya? Hello, Davarhu. Right? If I'm talking about beitza that is somewhat cooked, soft boiled, so shouldn't I dan on, well, would this great thief, Ben Drusoy, would he eat it, would he not eat it? How come my terms, Michael Ben Drusoy, don't come up? Why am I inventing a new term called Chetis Galgel? Mr. Adler.
It doesn't come up because we're talking about an egg.
Because where?
We're talking about an egg. Michael Ben Drusoy comes up when you're talking about a tashil, normally something like meat.
Why can't I say Michael Ben Drusoy is a category of food that you could eat b'shas hadachak?
It is, but since we're talking
right?
About
in other words, now I think what you might be getting at is something that's pretty good, but I don't know if you're saying it exactly. Let's go back to the way we explained eggs in our youth. No. An egg, even when it's ruah, is nechal ayudei hadachak, no? Michael ben Drusoy means you can eat it ayudei hadachak. But even the completely raw egg is nechal ayudei hadachak. Right? The chazan can take an egg and gargle with it. Now, it's not edible as a cooked egg. Right? So what we have to do with eggs is we have to enter a different category, because mitzad Michael ben Drusoy, a raw egg would also already be somewhat edible, possibly. Right? Especially Michael ben Drusoy is called Nechai Be'edchak, right? The raw egg is also Nechai Be'edchak. Okay. So maybe that's why we're saying Shetis Galgel. But Afilu Hachi, when all is said and done,
first of all, in Nechal and Yedehachak is only the Rambam holds that you put on that. Most Rishonim hold your Chayim on Nechal and Yedehachak. So
you're talking about the Rambam in terms of Bishul B'Shabbos, where the Rambam says that anything that's edible raw. So again, I don't want to try to unpackage that Rambam yet, because we'll have to spend a lot of time on that Rambam later on. But Again, I feel there's a huge 3-on-3 machlokas within that Rambam, like the Minchas Kohen and Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Eglei Tal. It will send me too far afield if I try to unpackage that now. So you'll have to forgive me for not dealing with that completely. Okay. But again, the difficulty with the Ran is that the Ran's understanding, or whoever this Rishon, this Shita L'Ran is, his understanding of Gilgal Mai is we're asking a question about something something that's not Mevushal Kol Sarko. We want to know, is that going to be Chayiv? Maybe we're asking only by eggs, because by eggs, the category of Michael Ben Drusoy doesn't really apply, because the category of Michael Ben Drusoy is something that has to be somewhat cooked in order to be somewhat edible. An egg was always somewhat edible. But if that is the approach I'm taking, I don't understand the comparison between my egg and the Koyas HaIspinin. No? The Gemara, Sof Kol Sof, this Gemara is comparing sardines to an egg. Right?
I'm giving you proof for an egg.
So, what type of proof is that? If I'm correct that we're only talking about eggs because eggs are mamish, are somewhat edible before any cooking, and now I'm just cooking it a little bit, is my fish somewhat edible before the cooking also? L'chayre not. This issue, by the way, just to confuse matters even further, is actually addressed in the Bir Halacha about Makir B'Patish by Ochlan. No? Remember this? I think we tried to assign this Bir Halacha to read today because I like it. The Gemara's Lashon is that Koyas HaIspinin is a problem because Hadachasam Zohi Gemar Malachton. If I would learn this Gemara in the abstract, I would say, oh, Zohi Gemar Malachton means that it's a chiyuv of makib apatish. No? And that would mean that there's makib apatish by food. And the Bir Halacha points out, Dibar Hamaslo Bahada Chasan, here in Se'if Dalid, that the Prima Godim learns this way, that there's makib apatish on foods. The Lavush learns this way, that there's makib apatish on foods. And the Nishmas Adam, also learns this way. He has three major hitters who assume that ultimately the Gemara is saying that there's makib apatish on foods. And the Chaura, what the Prima Godim is saying is just a perush of the Ramah. You see, in Se'if Dalet, we quote this din that sardines, if you pour hot water on them, hadachasan zuhi gemar malachton. Okay, then the Ramah decides to tell me a very big chiddush. Hu hadin, says the Ramah, kol davar kasha she'eino ra'i le'echol klal b'lo shriya asur l'shrosu b'shabes devi gemar malacha. Right? In other words, not only is this true about fish, which are not edible beforehand, but anything, even if it's like a hard item that you can't eat it until you soften it, you're not allowed to soften it on Shabbos. You can't soak it to soften it, because that would be Gemar Malacha. So everyone and their uncle jumps up and down. They say, Ramah, like, what are you teaching me? Like, oh, of course. It's almost like they joke about the maskil, who writes, you know, Shorosh Reuven Shanaika Shorosh Shimon, he writes on the side of his Gemara, Nirali Tehu Adin in Shorosh Levi Harag Shorosh Yehuda. Right? You don't have to say certain things. It's so obvious. You don't need to say it. Right? So why does the Ramah have to add this idea that something that is hard, not only are we talking about fish, apparently raw fish are not edible because the texture is not edible, maybe it only needs a little bit of cooking to make it edible. The fish is so salty, it's not edible. But you just put a little bit of water on it, it becomes edible. So hu hadin, a hard food. Or the Rama doesn't have to add hu hadin, hard food. Comes on the Prima Godim, he says, no, I'll tell you the pshat in the Rama. The Rama is telling me that we're not only talking about the din of Kalei Habishol, which is Usur Mitzad Halachos of cooking on Shabbos, but we're also talking about the din of Makib Apatish on food. Right, what's the Rama adding when he says, Hu Hadin, hard food? Says the Prima Godin in Eishal Avram Os Tes Zayin. Prima Godin says, oh no, the pshat in the Rama is that the Isser over here is Mishum Makib Apatish. And therefore the Prima Godin says, it's going to be Usser even if I could soften it up, are you they cold water? I don't need hot water to soften it. Right? Hot water is necessary if I'm talking about Bishol. But if I'm not talking about Bishol, I'm talking about Makib Apatish. So then even cold water could be the Isser.
I have one big question. There's a quick question about this whole approach. Makib Apatish is also regarded to Bishol is Mutter.
And Ochanami, according to this, it would be Aser on Yontiv as well. It's a very good Ha'ara. Right? The Bir Halacha says you can't possibly say it's Makib Apatish, because that would mean that any case when there's no Isser of cooking, there would still be an Isser Makib Apatish. Let's say Bishul Bechama. If I put something in the sun and I cook it, right? So the Gemara is going to say in a few lines that that's Heter Gomer. Bishul Bechama is absolutely Mutter.
So are you going to
say the Bir Halacha, but it should still be Aser Al Makib Apatish. Elamai, the Bir Halacha completely rejects this principle of the Prima Godim, of the Lavush, etc. And he says there's no such thing as Makib Apatish on food. So everybody jumps up and down and they spit wood and nickels and they say, what do you mean? There's no Makib Apatish on food. There's a Befeirish Yerushalmi on the first Mishnah of Klal Gadol. In the Mishnah, not the first Mishnah, Kagod, the Mishnah in the middle of Kagod, of the Malachos, where the Yerushalmi says that there is Makib Apatish on food.
So on Yom Tov, you wouldn't be allowed to pour hot water over the sardines.
That's what would emerge on according to this Prima Gadim, right? If the Prima Gadim is correct. Now, really, let's just finish. Let's just finish this up. So the Prima Gadim himself raises a question. He says, if you can tell me that there's a din of makiv patish when you make something usable, so how come I'm allowed to rinse cups on Shabbos? Hadachas kosos. You never thought of that one. Shouldn't that be makiv patish? Right? This is the best chumrah in Judaism. I'm sorry, dear, I can't do the dishes. Why not? Oh, it's makiv patish. She's saying, what? I don't want you to use the hammer to break the dishes. I want you to wash the dishes. The answer is no. Right? It's makiv patish. You're making the glasses usable. So comes along the Prima Gadim, and the Prima Gadim says, no, Hadachas Kosos is not makiv patish, because a dirty cup is also usable. You're an istinus. You don't want to use a dirty cup. When I speak about makiv patish, zok the Prima Gadim, that means if I take something that's mamish not usable, and I make it usable. And therefore, the Prima Gadim is understanding, let's just conclude the thought, and then I'll take your question, Ari. The Prima Gadim is understanding that the koyas ha'ispinin, these sardines, and the egg, apparently, is not usable at all without the gemar malacha. Right? And that's why it's going to be an iser of makiv patish. But comes along the bir halacha at the end, he says, that's not true. It's not true. Because these things were edible beforehand. Now, I think if you read the bir halacha inside carefully, the last 4 or 5 lines of this bir halacha, what emerges from the bir halacha is he's saying all of this was in the Prima Gadim, but he's rejecting it. The Acharish. The Prima Gadim holds that there's makiv patish on ochlem only when the food was not usable at all and it became usable. Aye, how come then our Gemara is comparing Gilgal Chayiv Chatos, which is the Nebishal? How can you compare that to Koyas Ha'ispinin, which is a din of makiv patish? What's the comparison? The answer is, well, the egg is edible beforehand. If it's edible beforehand, it can't possibly be real makiv patish. Makiv patish means you go from zero. Right? It was completely useless beforehand. You're making it usable. That's the way the Prima Gadim is learning. But if it was usable beforehand, like the dirty cups, you could use it, then there's no makiv patish. So now, if that's the case, you have to say that the koyas ha'ispinin was also somewhat edible beforehand, or else there's no comparison, and I don't know if that's correct. And that point is what the bir halacha is discussing at the end, whether these fish are somewhat edible. Let me hear from Yosef, let me hear from Ari, because I called you before, and then from Yosef.
This is a new question.
Now it's like a very complicated suffix. We should go first.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So now things like tea and coffee, which is completely unusable before.
So I don't want to talk about halakha lamais about tea and coffee now. We'll have to deal with those. Those are very big topics that we'll deal with separately. Right now we just want to say the yesodos to try to understand the sugya.
Or even any cliche. Any time that you do something that allows
okay. you... B'kitzur ha-ma'asa. La halacha, the bir halacha assumes there's no such thing as makiv patish by ochlim. It doesn't exist. Even though the Yerushalmi says that there is makiv patish by ochlim, the bir halacha says there's no such thing. Many of the later achronim say that, well, perhaps there is makiv patish on ochlim in certain situations. Chacham Avadya Yosef in the Livyat Chayin, that's his sefer he wrote on Hilchos Shabbos. So Liv Yatchein writes that maybe the din of makiv patish is when I prepare a chepza that will remain a chepza for a certain amount of time. If I pour hot water on food and I make that food edible, but I'll eat it right away, that's not makiv patish. Makiv patish means I prepare something and I'll leave it for a while. Others have the svara, maybe there's only makim apatish if you decide to do a separate, discrete act after you completed the major malacha. But in a situation where I'm just doing one act the whole time, I'm cooking it the whole time, there's no makir patish. Makir patish is, I have a keli, I make the keli, and then, you know, I bang the last thing. This summer I went with my family to Corning, New York. So you ever watch them blow glass in Corning, right? So they blow it, and it's a beautiful thing. The problem is like a teeny little bit all the way at the very end, right, which is sticking out because the pole that they used to blow the glass makes a mark at the bottom of the piece of glass. So what they do is they are makeb a patish. They take a hammer and they bang off that last little bit of glass, and that finishes the keli. Right? The keli is already done. It's usable in theory. Again, it's 1,000 degrees. It's hot glass, but in theory, it's a complete keli. It looks like a vase already, but there's a little base at the bottom that's sticking up that you don't want there. Makeb a patish. It's an extra act. It's like a nut epis. That's makeb a patish. In our cases, it could be it's not makeb a patish. There's a nice essay in the Stipler in Simon Mem Aleph where he goes through what's the yisod of makeb a patish by Ochlim, when it would apply, when it would not apply. Many poskim assume that there is makeb a patish in Ochlim. This is actually one of the things I once got in trouble with in Shul. At one point in my shul, I was asked to give a series of shiurim on electricity on Shabbos. So, in the first year I gave on electricity on Shabbos, I discussed what's the nature of the issue of using electricity on Shabbos, and I pointed out that the tshuvas of the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, he was the Rav in Lvov, and his tshuva, I think it's in Kuf Chav Os Gimel, he writes that using electricity on Shabbos is some issue of nolad, because you're taking something that was dead and you're making it alive, right? The fan. I'm not talking about a bulb. A light bulb, right? At least an incandescent bulb is going to be an issur d'oraisa of mavir, no? But what's the issur in you in creating a circuit that makes the fan spin? That's the question. So Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis assumes it's some issur of nolad. I'm making something new. And he says, and it's obviously usur for the same reason that you're not allowed to make seltzer on Shabbos. There's a big thing now called SodaStream. Again, we believe that companies that do work on the West Bank, you're still allowed to buy their stuff. But SodaStream, it's not bad. Right? People make seltzer on Shabbos. I remember as a kid, we used to have a seltzer company that would deliver these pellets. It looked like a little bullet that you'd put in the machine, and that would make seltzer. SodaStream is a more modern version of that. So Yitzchak Shmelkis assumes that just like electricity is also on Shabbos, you can't make seltzer on Shabbos. Because it's sort of like Noila, Molid, etc. In the Dirshu Mishnah Brura over here, Domani, that he missed this Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, he quotes all of the Achronim who say that, well, since there's no makev a patish on Ochlen, like the Mishnah Brura says, so then there is a heter to make seltzer on Shabbos. I'm not convinced that making seltzer on Shabbos is much. I think people should try to avoid it based on... It seems to me, by the way, that in our world, we're getting more and more shilas about electricity. We have to come up with one mahalach. Why is that electricity is also? And it seems to me, by the way, that therefore there's a heter to use electricity if there is no noticeable change. No? There's some of the buildings in the Heights have electromagnetic locks that I put my key in. It appears to the outsider that it's a regular lock, but it's really not. It's really that when I put my key in, I'm breaking the magnet and that allows me to enter. You know what I'm talking about? The Bennett. The Bennett has a system like this. So I think that that's mutter to use. Because if there's no noticeable change, people don't see, if I make a fan spin, that's nolad. But over here, there's no noticeable change. I can't get in the door. Everyone's going to say, oh, now I can get in because I put the key in the door. And I know the way keys work, right? There's a bolt, you open it. Right? People don't realize it's working based on some electronic system. I think there's grounds to be makel on that. Because I think if you follow Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis' mahalach, that the is of electricity is based on this type of nola, but then I think you have to ask for making seltzer on Shabbos. The Dirish Mishnah over here says a davar pasha making seltzer on Shabbos because there's no makar patash on Eichon. First of all, according to Chacham Ovadia Yosef's Mahalach, that no makar patash on Eichon means if I fix my sardine and then I eat it right away, it's mutter. But if I fix my sardine to leave it for a long time, it's going to be usher. So Eibazoi, soda stream would be usher on Shabbos also, no? Because I make soda stream, and I'm not going to drink all of it right away. You could make it, and it will last. So how long does it last for? Depends how much you like seltzer, right? But that's the basic yesod. Yes?
Why is making seltzer any different than putting sugar or salt in it? I know something.
It's not 100% clear where I draw the line between what's considered a significant change, what isn't. Some of the Achronim use an expression that it calls me mavas l'chaim. Right? In other words, it looks like dead water, and now the water is all bumping and jumping and doing fancy stuff, so that looks like the water is alive. I'm not exactly sure. How come, right, so ve'a ba'ochlen, we pass in, me'ikadin ein svi'a ba'ochlen, how come I'm allowed to make coffee and tea on Shabbos, right, ba'ofen hamutter? Shouldn't there be an iser tzoveya? And tzoveya should be no worse than nolad. Right? The answer is that we assume that that's not a thing. I'm not exactly sure where to draw the line. How come we assume ain't svi'a ba'ochlen, but maybe making a significant change is nolad? I don't know where to draw the line. That's one of the kashas I've been working on. And maybe as we go on this year, hopefully we'll have time to learn this through and to come up with an approach. Yosef.
Two things. I was wondering, according to the Prima Gutter, say I had like a cup that was moldy, so the Prima Gutter would make me sick. Washing that would be not the Pathish Dereska, right?
Yes.
Should we not do that then?
Again, the Bir Halacha assumes we reject the Prima Gutter. Some of the Achronim are less inclined. Tim, if it would only be the Prima Gadim, I'd say, okay, but the fact that I have a Prima Gadim and a Lavush and the Nishmas Adam, I would say that at least some, and there's a Beferish Yerushalmi.
Isn't that
Kotzer? Huh?
Isn't that Kotzer? Washing mold?
Kotzer?
Washing mold from where it's
growing. Doesn't have
to be like. So, first of all, the Gemara says that growing mold is not called Kotzer. Because it's not getting nourishment from the ground. It's getting nourishment.
Yeah.
No, it's gross no matter what, but no, it's not kosher. Don't try not to be such a yeshiva guy that your cups end up in that stage. Wash your cups before Shabbos. Let's we'll say it like that.
Other thing I was wondering is, I'm not such a buggy in like this herring. The reason they add water is to make it less salty, right?
That's my understanding. That's so salty before, they have to preserve the fish. Meliach Hayoshin means it's fish from like last year. They didn't have refrigerators. So how do you preserve a fish? You put a ton of salt on it, and then you preserve the fish. But then I can't eat it. It's so salty. It's mamish inedible. Right? So what I do is I pour some hot water on it to rinse off some of that salt to make it edible.
But that's another question. Why that speaks against Makar Patash? You only put the salt on after the food was...
No, it's makar patash. Now I'm making an edible fish. It wasn't an edible fish until now. Now it becomes edible. Remember, according to the Prima Gadim, it's only true if the fish was mamish, not edible beforehand. And Ken Zayin, from the Dimyon and the Gemara to the egg, that the fish was somewhat edible, ayyadei hadachak. Now I should point out that whether eggs are edible, ayyadei hadachak, and what type of dachak is necessary, comes up in on Hilchos Bishul Akon. In Yeridei of Kuf Yud Gimel, Sif Yud Beis, Yud Gimel Yud Dalet. There are two opinions in Sif Yud Beis. We know that the halacha is that Dover that's Necha Kamo Shul Chai, there's no Bishul Akon. What about Dover that's Necha Ayidei Hadachak? This time of year, this is actually a big issue. This time of year, there's like a thing with pumpkins. I don't know if anyone has noticed. Right? So are pumpkins necha ayidei hadachak? I think the OU assumes that you can eat raw pumpkins technically. You can. Necha ayidei hadachak, what's this? Some foods we generally don't eat when they are raw, but you could eat them perfectly well. Corn. Maize, I should say. Right? American corn is perfectly edible when it's raw. The only thing is, most people only eat it when it's cooked, the flavor only comes out when you cook the corn. Some food is nechal ayidei hadachak.
And it's raw.
And when it's ruah, and that's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch whether there's an iser bishul akum. So then the next sif in Shulchan Aruch, in sif yudalet or something, it says that by eggs there is an iser bishul akum. Right, it's a famous question about Dunkin' Donuts in many communities have like a type of egg McMuffin. Is the guy allowed to make the egg for you in the microwave oven? No? You order the egg, can the guy make the egg for you, the egg McMuffin? So Shulchan Aruch says that eggs are subject to the rule of Bishul Akum. Aye, isn't an egg Nechal Ayyidei HaDechak? Right? Because the Chazan can eat the raw egg like we began today. So the Taz writes that eggs are Necha Ayyidei Dochek Gadol. And there's a difference between Dochek Gadol and Dochek Katan. What that means, haven't got the foggiest idea. That's what the Taz says. The Bach has a different Mahalach. The Bach says that maybe there's a difference between foods that become edible, i.e. they two discrete actions, and foods that require one action. If the only thing that was done to make it edible was done at one time by a guy, like cooking an egg, then it's going to be also of the Bach. But the fish and the like is done either two stages. First you salt it. We pass in that malicha, there's no din of bishul akum. When you, even though maliach kiroseach, there's no bishul akum, I yidei malicha. And then, the second stage, when you cook it, so that's going to be mutter. But when there's only one stage, that's when the bach takes it. But hayotze, you see from the dinim, there in yoredeya, that eggs are somewhat edible when they are completely raw. But there still is bishul akum. Apparently, it's not the type of nechay de'adchak that are the two deos in Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Yud Gimel Se'if Beis. Okay. Yes.
So you would not recommend getting the eggs from Dunkin'?
I think there are other sunni from Mahakil that we'll talk about maybe next time we learn whether there is a bishul akum on stuff that's cooked in the microwave. That's going to be relevant to the conversation I wanted to have today based on the Egg Vital Sifkat and Chaf Beis. About Tol Dos Bishul, etc., and does that carry over to Bishul Akum? Glee Nedda will try to have that conversation next time we learn. Okay, but just without confusing matters too much, what we're trying to say today is as follows. I think there are two ways of understanding the suffix in the name of Gilgal Mai. Either the suffix relates to Todos Ha'ar, whether it's an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan. And if that's the case, I don't understand the Raya from Kol Yisa Ispinin. Alternatively, the way the Ran and the Rashash are learning, the question is partial Bishul. And partial Bishul, the conclusion of the Gemara is that partial Bishul is really going to be Chayiv. So that I understand. I don't fully understand why we don't bring in Maichel Ben Drusai, unless we want to say Ashtikot Torah that Maichel Ben Drusai was completely inedible before that mice of cooking. Over here, it was somewhat edible before that mice of cooking. That's the best approach I have. Then we had the conversation about the Makeh v'Patish by Ochlem, which is a fascinating topic. The Mishnah Berurah assumes categorically it does not apply against a Yerushalmi. There are poskim who are machmir. There's Makeh v'Patish on Ochlem. I think standard approach among Morei Hora'ah is that we don't concern ourselves with these deos that there's Makeh v'Patish by Ochlem, although it's not so crazy to learn this way, even if it doesn't emerge from the Gemara itself, because our Gemara is clearly talking about Bishul, but maybe that extra line in the Ramah, where the Ramah talks about Davar Kasha, maybe that indicates that there is some room for concern of Makeh v'Patish by Ochlem. So, we're back. Zman has begun. Yashikoach. Have a good Shabbos.